Happy Sabbath, everyone. How are you doing, Mr. Hogan? Some of you might not know that he was in the hospital for 3 or 4 days, right? He about go to church last week, and something happened to him. Something happened to home. He don't remember. Only people remind him. He walk out of the house, and he fall down, and he walk for miles without know where he going, and he don't remember where he went. And so they rush him to the hospital after his roommate find out, and something happened. And so they find out have some little seizure that you might have, and you never know, right? And so I'm glad that you are alive here with us. Can you imagine you walk out the street and across the street and you don't know? You don't hear anything? You don't sense anything? And God still keep him alive? Praise God. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. So God have done so many miracles in our life, and we might not know, or sometimes we take for granted. You know, sometimes I thought, hey, I'm doing okay. I'm able to start this youth group. We have English service. All young people are excited. But you know, looking back, I have not done anything. God have done all this. We just give God the glory. If we just be instrument of God, just let him lead us, wherever he's going to use us, he will use us in mighty way. I read over the week, I read a story that happened. A missionary went to an island of nowhere in Australia. And that in 1948. And he come there, he see no one really a Christian. So he worked his heart out, and he wins so many souls. And when he left in 1982, and they give him a plaque or engraved them in stone, and this is what it said. When he land in 1948, there's no Christian. When he left in 1982, there's no heathen. Man, that's powerful. I want to be part of God's plan. I want to see people in a mighty way God lead them to Christ. Well, I'm not sharing the word of God with you this morning. We have someone special. You know him very well. Somehow God pulled him out of the hat, go to Lasser University, a very small university compared to other universities, 30, 40,000 students, and here are only more than 2,000 students. But somehow he feel God lead him there. Through that school, he met a friend lead him into this church. He learned about God's word, and he grew spiritually. 2 years ago, when he heard about evangelistic meeting conducted by Ed Ritten at downtown L.A., and his name is Sean Boonstra. He conduct 5 weeks seminar. He drove all the way from Riverside to Los Angeles on a prime time traffic. You know, you go an hour and a half and go back and forth 5 nights a week to listen. And he give his heart to God, to the Lord. He was baptized 2 years ago. He joined our church. He grows tremendously. He helped many programs. He involved a lot. I pray for him constantly that God might use him in a special way. And now he want to share with you. He kind of reluctant because his accents or whatever. But I'm sure, you know, what's important is your heart. If you ride with God, we will learn how God do a miracle through your life. So Kevin, come up and share what God has spoke to you. Your role, your journey as you find Jesus.
Thank you, Pastor. That's a really nice introduction, adding pressure. But but in terms of sharing God's word, so I think I should take it seriously. I did prepare a sermon, but it in Vietnamese. So if anybody asks me right now, am I ready? No. But I believe with sincere heart and with God's help, I will share to you guys that how wonderful God is. So before I start, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this beautiful Sabbath. Thank you for blessing us with all the things throughout the weeks. And dear Lord, in this hour, please pour out your Holy Spirit. Bless me with your wisdom so that put the word in my mouth so that I don't sin against you. Pour out your Holy Spirit to everybody here in this church so that they can have wisdom and see the light in your word. And keep me in the right way to glorify your name, Lord. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you can tell, I have a broken accent in English, right? I am originally from Vietnam. I spent my first 17 years growing up in Vietnam. I first come here when I was 17 years old and going to high school in Anaheim. So at that time, everything is really new, strange. You know, I have to adapt a lot to live here in America. So during 2 years in high school, I don't know anything about God, God's word. In Vietnam, we don't really have a lot of information or evangelistic meetings to spread the gospel of God. Not until I come to last year, I realized that God's existence is valid, and He has a plan for all of us, a plan of salvation. And one of the Bible verses that I really like, and I pray, I hope that it will go with me until the end. That's the that verse is in Ecclesiastes, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has set the world in their heart. As many people know that Vietnam, as well as many countries in Asia, they don't believe in any deity or any god. You know, that's their philosophy. But through my experience, as well as observations when I was still in Vietnam, most of the people around me, as well as the people I see in televisions or, you know, media, they all try to find a God to worship. Some of the religion in Vietnam, you know, not Buddhist, but just worship God in general. Doing good or bad, they still, you know, pray to God to help them out. They just don't know that who that God is. They just don't know that powerful God, that mighty God is Jesus Christ. And not until I come to America, that thought, that understanding always, you know, go with me. And I keep asking that question in myself, in my heart, who that God is. And until I come to La Sierra University, I I can see that people there is really different. They're really friendly. They're willing to help me in anything. They show Christ-like characteristics, which I don't really understand that until now. And I know that God led me to La Sierra University, you know, the SDA school, which I don't know beforehand until I come. And after I come to La Sierra, I know about God. Then I come to know His law, His commandments, and His love, His plan to save human race. And I also know that He hates sins, but He loves sinners. And He set a plan of salvation for everybody since the beginning. And I also know that Satan is real, and he's the source of sins. He's the beginning of sins. So what is sin? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, there is a short definition. Whosoever committed sin transgressed also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. In the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, the human beings have to die eventually. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 11, God said, Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, "But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die." So in the beginning, God created humans and the earth perfectly. And He gave the human the range over everything on earth. And He also gave us the freedom of choice. He tells us that there are thousands of fruits in the Garden of Eden we can eat. Just don't eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eve has the joy, had the choice to follow God's commandments, God's rules, but she chose to do against it. Even though she was tempted by Satan, by the serpent, but she do have the choice to follow God's will. However, she did against God's will. God did tell her that if you eat it, you shall surely die. She did against it. She sinned. She transgressed the law of God, and Adam also do the same as well. And in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, Paul said, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." When human beings transgress the law, our nature become like sin. In the Great Controversy, Ellen G. White wrote in a session about the enmity against between human and sins. Ellen G. White said, "When humans go against God's law, our nature become sinful from sinless." From innocent, we become like Satan. We are in the same side with Satan. We are no different from Satan. So both sides become evil through the transgression of law and the protection of God. But God loves. God is the God of love, God of wonder. He wants to save His creatures, His creations. He wants to save His children. So He sent grace for us. He come to die for us on the cross. And through Jesus Christ, we will be saved. And since Adam and Eve sinned in the beginning, He already planned a plan of salvation to save His children. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God said to the serpent, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Besides putting the eternity in human hearts that keep yearning to seek for Him, God also planted enmity in human's heart, so that we will not be lost forever. It is when Jesus said, tell the serpent that He will put enmity between Him and a woman, it is also the announcement of His salvation plan. That announcement brought hope to the human race. What is enmity then? Enmity is the hatred against sins. When the first, when a person begins to read the Bible or just become a Christian, when he read this section, he will ask, why God is a God of love, God of wonder? Why did He put enmity in the human's heart? Enmity here is hatred against sins. Thanks to the enmity, the human beings will be saved, will not be condemned in the sinful world. In the Bible, the Israelite, there is many stories that I like, but one of the stories that I like the most is the story about the Israelites. They are free from the Egyptians. God freed them from the enslavement of the Egyptians. They have been the slaves in Egypt for 400 years. But they cry for God, so God saved them. They know about God when God did many miracles to bring them out of Egypt. In the wilderness, God's presence is always with them. At night, He sent the color of fire. In the day, He sent the clouds to protect them. He sent the manna every day to feed them. He did many miracles. And we can when we read the Bible, we can tell that there are many evidence that they can feel the presence of God better than us. Because they have the miracles, you know. God do miracles for them every day. But still, they go against His will. With just some challenge, they go back and worship the cow, the golden cow, right? The golden calf, golden cow. That image is from Egypt. And it's just 400 years, they already been affected, been influenced by the Egyptian worship system. Vietnam has the history of colonized by China. Nowadays, we are two different countries. But there are many aspects that Vietnam still, you know, influenced by the Chinese. From the language, food. We have New Year, but it is counted by the lunar calendar. There are 12 different zodiacs. I mean, there are 12 zodiacs, but 11 of them are the same, only one different between Chinese and Vietnamese New Year calendar. About making fake products, Vietnam and China are number one country in Asia not making fake products. So you can tell, after 1,000 years, even though we are now two different countries, there are still similarity that shows in our daily habit, our daily life aspects. In 1973, there is a psychological illness that has been recorded. It's called Stockholm Syndrome. There are many victims, and most of them are women. They are kidnapped and enslaved, imprisoned for a long time, about, you know, 10 years or so. They are oppressed, illly treated, and abused inhumanly. they are treated not as a human. They are raped. They are treated like animal, sort of speak. And when they are freed, many normal people look into that. They think that they probably will hate, will show deep, you know, hatred against those people, against the kidnapper. However, it is opposite. They show the affection, they show sympathy against the kidnapper when he get being captured by the police. They are not treating the kidnapper with the love of God, but they think that if the kidnapper don't abuse them, don't do anything physically or mentally abusive actions against them, the kidnapper is showing mercy on them, is showing love on them. In other words, if the kidnapper keep abusing, doing abusive actions on them, he is doing something like normal activities we do daily, like sleeping, eating. In Romans chapter 7, verse 19, Paul said, "For the good that I would not do, but the evil which I would not that I do." So we are human. We have sinful nature. We hate sins, but we're still doing it. if God did not, God is the God of love, God of wonder. If He did not put the yearning, the seeking for Him in our heart, if He did not put the enmity against sin in our heart, we will forever be lost. Just a few years, 400 years, 1,000 years, we already show that we are the creator. We are dependent. We will be affected if we stay in if we do something for a long time. It will become our habit, our character. Human race, since Adam and Eve until now, at least we have 6,000 years being controlled by, being affected by Satan. He plants sins in our heart. We are the sinful creature. If God did not put enmity in our heart, we will forever be lost. When we do sin, we will not think that it hurt us. God is a God of wonder, God of love. Jesus did not only put the yearning for Him, the eternity in our heart, He also put enmity. He do one more thing. He did not only give us those wonders in our heart. He came down to us. He was born in a poor family. He lived His life through temptations, through all the challenges that a normal human being will go through in his life. He went through all of those. He win against Satan. He become the proof that we will believe in His word. We should believe in His word. He goes through everything. When He was crucified on the cross, He was abandoned by all the people. You know the story, like 5,000 people that He feed? When He was crucified, they all gone. All the 12 disciples. He taught them every day. They go with Him every day when He's still on earth. At the last hour, they all betray Him. Everything is so is odd against Jesus. But at the last minute, when He's on the cross, the last sentence, in His last breath, He speak out, "Father, please forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." God is the God of wonder, God of love. So as we know, we have the tool that Jesus implanted in our heart, the yearning for seeking Him, the enmity against sin. But we know that we can win against sin by our own self. We are weak against Satan. He has more than 6,000 years to study the weakness of human race. He knows every weakness in our heart to the cellular level. He can make Job, you know, in the Bible, the book of Job, He can make Job become disabled or with a great illness that everybody around Him have to run away from Him because they are disgusting of Job. Because of His units. So Satan knows to the cellular level our weakness. If we depend on ourselves only to win against Satan, we will lose in that battle. And Jesus reminded us that we have to rely on Him. He sent the Holy Spirit down to earth for that reason. He wants to save every human being that have faith in him and live the life according to that faith. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I mean, Matthew, I just speak Vietnamese. Yeah. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Jesus reminded us that we should seek him first and everything will be added unto us. It's really important for seeking the word of Jesus, the word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are not fighting the battle between visible things that we can sense by our five senses. That's how weak we are. We are limited to the five senses. We are not fighting the battle against the visible things. We are fighting against Satan, who has more than 6,000 years studying human beings. We cannot win if we rely on ourselves. In the Bible, we know about King Solomon. He's the wisest. He's the king of all kings. He's the wisest man on earth. After him and before him, there is no wisest man. If we put ourselves in that time, God gave him the wisdom, and everything else come after that, because he asked for the wisdom. He had direct relationship with God. But in the end, he chose to rely on himself. He chose to stray away from God. And his consequence is that he strayed away from God. And gradually, you know, he died and did not really get blessing from God. Yeah. If we rely on ourselves, our consequence will be severe. If we rely on ourselves, we will never win against the battle of getting to heaven. I don't know if Solomon is safe or not, but I know that if I rely on myself, my life will be a wreck. So in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. If we accept Jesus, we're willing to say that he's the God of our life. He will put the new heart in our body. He will give us the strength to win against Satan, the source of sin, the beginning of sin. If we believe in him, we will have the power, the Holy Spirit, the gift that God sent to us, will help us win against temptations in our daily life. My friends, it's about the end of my sharing, my speech. I would like to ask each one of you who do not believe in Jesus yet, who are seeking for Jesus, please make your stand. Choose the side. Choose the winning side. Choose Jesus. Give your life to Jesus, and He will give everything else to you. Seek the kingdom of God first. God bless you. Thank you.